The room smelled of familiar tropical flowers, lush and spicy. A floral print on the bed, on the dressing table, with its low bench, on the lampshade. Walls of soft peach with a faint cream stripe. Kai lay back against the piled pillows, wondering where she was. The last she remembered was the Captain's Guild. Men with masks and guns, police. Then it came back, all a rush of memory. She blinked. This wasn't a jail, she was sure of that. She'd never seen this room before, but the fragrance, familiar since childhood, suggested the legation and its garden of Slaughter Key natives. Before she thought to reach for the comm unit on the bedside table, someone shouldered the door open and entered with a tray. A stout woman in a flowered tunic. She brought the tray to the bedside and began offloading dishes onto the bedside table.
Oh, good. You're awake. You're in the Slaughter Key Legation. The doctor wants to talk to you, and so does the consul and the Belinta police. I'm Carla, by the way, and you're supposed to take your time eating as much as you want before anyone tries to talk to you. Doctor's orders.
She poured out a cup of tea. Kai hitched herself more upright in the bed, took it, and sipped.
Tell me what happened at the Captain's Guild. Upstairs, I mean.
Whew! My feet hurt.
Carla plumped down in the upholstered chair and kicked her shoes off.
I'm not supposed to talk to you about what happened. I'm supposed to be sure you're really awake and have had something to eat.
She laid her head back. Kai stared a moment, then picked up one of the pastries and started to bite into it. Then she stopped. Whatever had happened after the part she remembered, someone had tried to kill her, not once, but twice, counting the attempt to smuggle explosives onto her ship. She put the cup down. The woman, Carla, opened her eyes.
Can I get you something?
How do I know you're who you say you are?
Excuse me?
Kai realized, as she sat up and threw the covers back, that she was wearing someone else's nightshirt. She'd never owned one in lavender and green, and besides, it was hugely too big. Her head spun for a moment, then cleared.
You say this is the Slaughter Key Legation.
Yes, of course. What else would it be?
And you're a legation employee?
The woman drew herself up, red patches coming up on her cheeks.
I'm the consul's wife, Carla Maria Inosier.
Oh, well, I'm sorry. You weren't... I didn't meet you before at the dinner.
I was indisposed.
The woman fished for her shoes and put them back on.
And before you ask, yes, this is my bedroom you're in, and my nightdress you're wearing. I was told your things had been stolen.
I'm sorry. I didn't know. Look, I'm confused. They tried to kill me, and I was afraid.
Oh, well, I suppose it's understandable. It's been a very strange day, I hear. But perhaps you should see Parin, my husband, the consul, now. I will have to tell him later that I managed to frighten the redoubtable Captain Vata.
Carla actually smiled as she went to the door.
Wait. I believe you. Please, stay, sit down, and I'll eat.
Kailara picked up the pastry again and bit into it. It was delicious.
If you insist. My husband has been telling me about your trip to Sabine. The news reports of the attacks there were terrifying. I can't imagine someone blowing up Ansible platforms.
Carla glanced up as if she could see through the roof to Belinta's Ansible station.
It was scary.
Kai bit into another pastry, this one meat-filled. She felt better with every bite.
I can't imagine why anyone would attack Ansible platforms. It only makes ISC angry, and Parin always says they're the glue that holds the galaxy together.
Kai, her mouth full, nodded.
And you were captured by mercenaries, a news report said.
Yes, but they were polite mercenaries.
When they weren't almost killing her, but that had been an accident.
Did you really kill the ringleader?
Yes. And I suspect that's why someone's trying to kill me in retaliation.
Kai decided that one more pastry wouldn't hurt, and picked one up.
I can tell you're feeling better. More color in your cheeks. The clothes you had on have been freshened, if you feel able to get up now.
Yes, I do. But I'd still like to know what happened. Did I just faint?
A contact poison. That policeman with you fell over like a cut tree while the consul was in the room. You were pale and turning gray, Parin said.
A contact poison? On top of the shooting?
Yes. They didn't leave much to chance, is the way the consul put it. It penetrated ordinary gloves as if they weren't there.
Kai remembered now, the policeman pulling open drawers, lifting the sheets of the bed, touching this surface and that.
Then they found the bedspread bundled into a trash container, and the poison was all over that. Three of them are down with it. You only sat on the bed. The poison didn't penetrate your clothes that well. The antidote worked quickly. You were only unconscious a couple of hours. The doctor's off working on the others.
So, did they catch the assassins?
No. They're searching, of course, but except for the one you shot, the gang's all disappeared.
Is my ship all right? My crew? Has anything else happened up there?
They're fine. No attacks up there at all, and shuttle travel's been suspended, so no assassination teams can get there from here. There's a comm console in my sitting room just outside here. Then there's a policeman who would like to speak to you. He has assured the consul that they have no more interest in arresting you. When their people went down from the contact poison, they decided that you having shot one of the assassins wasn't so bad after all.
I need to check with the ship. Can you hold the policeman off that long?
Of course! This is Solder Key territory, after all. Take your time getting dressed. Through that door there.
Quincy, predictably, was appalled at what had happened, and worried, and wanted Kai to come back immediately.
I'm safe here. I'm not going out, I promise. They've suspended shuttle flights, you know.
Yes, but for you, can't you get a charter?
Probably not. Not until tomorrow, anyway. Are you satisfied with the police guard on our dockside?
They've doubled it. I think we're secure, but you...
I'm fine. I got hold of Vada headquarters before this happened. There does appear to be a general threat. I'll give you the details when I'm back on the ship. And if I'm stuck down here for days, I might as well see what I can do about cargo.
Cargo? You could still get killed. Don't you dare go out.
I won't go out. I can do business from here. The consul's helping me arrange things. I won't say don't worry, but don't lose sleep.
The policeman who interviewed Kai had the same dour expression as the others she'd met.
We are convinced that you were the innocent victim of an attack and that you killed the assassin in self-defense. Under our laws, this is legal, and anyway, the dead man was someone we wanted to arrest on other charges. Saved us the cost of a trial. Even so, we cannot recommend that you resume unrestricted travel in the city or your residence at the Captain's Guild.
I can't stay cooped up here forever. My ship is already under threat.
We think you could be escorted safely to the orbital station, but an extended stay... We understand you are seeking outbound cargo?
Not after the attempt to sabotage my ship and kill me. I want to leave as soon as possible. If for some reason I had been detained here, then I'd ask the consul to help me make some contacts to seek cargo. But if I can leave now...
Are you well enough to travel?
Yes. The doctor advises 24 hours of observation, but surely overnight is enough.
Perhaps a chartered shuttle flight. We would, of course, validate the crew.
Sounds good to me.
The only goods Kai had seen explained why Belinta had a deplorable trade balance. When the policeman excused himself, she considered going out to find the consul, but decided to rest just a few minutes. Her head felt strange again. She lay down on top of the covers. When she woke, some unknown time later, someone had covered her with a knitted shawl and set another tray on the bedside table. Steam rose in curls from the teapot. Kai wasn't very hungry. She was struggling with her reaction to the day's events. Her annoyance with the postal clerk seemed far away now, almost as if it had been someone else. Someone had tried to blow up her ship. Someone had tried to kill her. Something had happened during her call to Vada headquarters. She had to think those things were related, and the only thing she could think of was whatever criminal group Pazin and Christofsen had been part of, taking vengeance for killing them. She started at the sound of the door handle turning, but relaxed when she saw the consul. He came in, shutting the door behind him.
How are you feeling?
Much better.
Oh, that's good.
His expression did not lighten. Kai's stomach clenched.
What's wrong?
We've lost contact with Slaughter Key.
Consul Inosier sat heavily in the other chair. Kai remembered suddenly that she had intended to call her father directly, only to be interrupted by the assassins. Her mouth went dry.
Completely?
Yes. It appears that something's wrong with the Ansibles there. I don't know if it's anything like what happened at Sabine.
Kai watched his face. He stared at his hands.
What else?
Well, there's another problem. Before we lost contact, I had reported the attack on you. Purely routine. Something I'd do if a Slaughter Key citizen had been involved in a barroom brawl. And I was told something that shocked me.
Kai waited it out.
Vada's always been in good order with the government. I'm sure you know that. There's the contributions, of course, but beyond that, it's an enterprise that has a long and honorable history in interstellar trading. Due all assistance, favored status, whatever you want to call it. And I liked you personally when I met you on your first visit. I was looking forward to having lunch with you.
And?
And for reasons I do not understand, that has been reversed. At the highest level. Vada is, in the words of my superior, not to be accorded any status whatever. Get her out of there, he said. Have nothing to do with Vada.
What?
Captain, I demanded answers and got nothing except that the situation had changed and I was to follow orders. I pointed out that you were sick, incapacitated, and in danger, and was told to get you a room in a hotel. Whatever happened, it's got the government scared. Some threat, I guess, to them as well as to Vada. I tried calling some other people I know. One of them told me that there were rumors of attacks on Vada Holdings, but had no details. It was on the third call that we were cut off. I asked the police to check the comm booth records from the Captain's Guild. That was about 6 hours after you lost the signal to your headquarters.
6 hours. Much could happen in 6 hours. Or in 6 minutes, or 6 seconds.
I'm guessing that ISC's enemies are behind the Ansible failure, but whether that has anything to do with this change in policy about Vada, I don't know.
It must. The Ansible attacks on Sabine were certainly aimed at ISC, or so ISC thought. And I can understand the people who did it blaming me. I did kill two of them. Maybe it's a two-pronged attack.
No, wrong scale. A criminal organization wanting to punish you might send an assassination team, yes. Though it's more likely they'd have some local thug beat you up in a bar somewhere. But not take out Ansible service to your home planet.
He paused, and Kai nodded.
The thing is, I'm under orders to dump you on the street, effectively. But I'm not going to.
The look he gave her was brimming with mischief. Kai stared at him.
Instead, I'm going to commit time travel and have a conversation with you that actually occurred prior to that Ansible call. In fact, we're already having that conversation. If anyone asks later, this conversation occurred in the morning. Is that clear?
Nothing was clear at the moment, but the intensity of his gaze suggested that she needed to answer.
Yes, I guess.
Good.
Consul Inosier leaned back in his chair, hooked a heel around the leg of a hassock and pulled it nearer before stretching his legs onto it.
I'm going to share with you what I might have shared if not instructed otherwise. Because from my point of view, I haven't yet been instructed otherwise. And if you think that merely proves the moral elasticity of diplomats, please keep it to yourself.
Yes, of course.
How much do you know of Slaughter Key's foreign policy? Especially as regards maintaining the safety of the spaceways.
That's what we have a space navy for. Our strong space force deters, doesn't it?
I always wondered what they taught cadets. You know, the universe would work much better if people just told the simple truth. And you may think that's the stupidest thing ever to come out of a diplomat's mouth, but really.
My father always said honesty in trade was better than trickery, if you wanted repeat customers.
And let's hope that honesty didn't get him killed. All right. Here's the truth of it. Slaughter Key, our mutual home, is widely disliked for its ways of handling interstellar security. Our Space Force, for all the resources dedicated to it, defends only the home system. One star system, 3 inhabited planets, some colonized satellites, and so on. We have pickets at several nearby jump points as an early warning system. We don't take our ships into other people's systems without elaborate preparation. If we just waltz in, they call it invasion. They have called it invasion.
But I thought...
Nothing Kaid been taught actually contradicted what Consul Inosier was saying, though this was a strange interpretation.
But then what keeps pirates from raiding our trade ships?
That, Captain Vada, is the reason Slaughter Key has a shady reputation. Slaughter Key runs privateers, private armed vessels authorized by the Slaughter Key government to pursue and take action against the enemies of Slaughter Key, which, broadly defined, means anyone who messes with our trade in ways we don't like. We're not the only ones to do what we do, but we do it fairly aggressively.
Privateers? They're nothing but pirates with a piece of paper.
That's exactly what some other systems call them, yes. It's what we call foreign privateers, too, if they interfere with our ships. But, Captain Vada, every government finds itself in need of force. Clandestine, unofficial, deniable force in some situations. Vigilantes, privateers, bounty hunters, mercenaries, someone who would do the dirty work, but whose dirty work could be disavowed if things went sour.
But it's wrong!
Even as she said that, she knew how naive, how immature that sounded. Consul Inosier did not laugh at her, or even smile.
Well, it's certainly not ideal. At best, the use of such methods should be reserved for a few rare, difficult situations. But for economic reasons, Slaughter Key and several other planetary systems have come up with this way to fund police in space. I'm sure you can imagine the diplomatic problems that arise. Innocent ships seized, disputes over the proof of guilt, that sort of thing. The Merchant Council agreed, in the Commercial Code, to recognize privateers as separate from pirates, and privateers, including ours, are bound to adhere to the code for the treatment of prisoners, for instance, just as mercenaries do. Privateers have provided the only space police for many decades now, and on the whole, the merchants are happier with them than with the real pirates.
There should be a real space police. Surely the various systems could get together.
So far, they've refused. The closest thing is ISC's enforcement branch, but they don't do anything about piracy that doesn't affect them directly, and they aren't enthusiastic when systems do try to combine forces. But here's the thing. Merchant firms, including some you know, have participated in the privateer program, committing a small percentage of their fleet. What's lost in cargo capacity to the armament they carry is made up for in prize money. Space Force usually assigns an officer, always on the larger ships, or if they're working in a group, to keep an eye on things. We in the diplomatic service are provided a list of privateers operating in our area in case we need to contact them or vice versa.
Despite her initial disgust at the thought of privateers, Kai imagined herself on such a ship, almost as good as a real warship, protecting Slaughter Key's merchant fleet from pirates.
So you see, I can think of a lot of reasons why Slaughter Key might be attacked, even without an attack on ISC. We've annoyed a lot of people, not just our intended targets.
Are Vada ships among the privateers?
Well, not on any list I've ever had. I believe it was the policy, when privateering was first authorized, that at least one carrier should not be invited to participate, so that its sterling reputation could cover the others. I don't know the whole history, but Vada appears to have been chosen as the unspotted lamb of an otherwise motley flock. You don't know any of this, I gather.
No.
Some of the reactions Kai had gotten here and on Sabine now made sense, though. So did that model kit with strange electronic bits Master Sergeant McRobert had sent her back before she left Slaughter Key. "If you need help," his letter had said, and he was Space Force. He must have known about the privateers. He must have been trying to give her a way to contact them. She wondered if her father knew, but he must have.
Well, you need to know it now. You're going to be facing hostility and suspicion in many quarters. Whatever is presently going on, with Vada and Slaughterkey's government at odds, can only make things worse. I don't suppose you have any seasoned veterans among your crew.
No. My father thought he was sending me off on a quiet run. He chose crew for their experience with the ship.
You need force you can trust, Captain. The best thing you can do is hire some good toughs. The kind of person you can depend on, so you don't have to hire guards at every stop.
And where would I find someone like that? How could I be sure they weren't part of a plot to kill me?
Inosie must have seen that in her expression.
Well, there's one of our legation guards very close to retiring. He's a bit rough at the edges, but very experienced and strong as an ox. I could speak to him if you'd like.
The memory of what had happened the last time she took on a diplomat's problem was clear in her mind. Caleb Skeldon had nearly gotten her killed.
The thing about ex-military is they have discipline as well as training.
What I really need is a cargo master. Someone who's good at inventory as well as handling cargo loading.
Well, he is. That's if, given what I've told you about the government's position, you trust me.
She had already made a fool of herself with the consul's wife. She had to trust someone, and Inosie had missed better chances to do her harm.
Ask him then. But I'll want to talk to him first if he agrees.
Of course, of course. Now, remember, this conversation took place in the morning, when you arrived here and before I contacted my government.
Yes.
Kai felt numb, even more battered than before.
Do you want me to leave now?
Now? No, of course not. It's night, and you're still not fully recovered. Get a good night's sleep, and by morning I expect the Belinta authorities will have found a way to return you to your ship.
Inosie pushed the hassock away, stood, and stretched.
I have to attend a terminally boring dinner, during which I shall pretend that nothing whatever is going on. And you are the hero everyone here thinks you are. I'll talk to our man when I get back, and he's on duty, and you can meet him in the morning.
Kai was sure she would not sleep, and for some time her thoughts ran in giddy circles. But exhaustion took her, finally. On her breakfast tray the next morning was a note from Consul Inosie advising her that Staff Sergeant Martin would like to speak with her before she left, and she had reservations on a shuttle leaving at 10:15 local time. Staff Sergeant Gordon Martin was a tall, blocky individual with graying blonde hair and gray eyes like frozen pebbles. Though he was out of uniform, no one could have mistaken him for anything but a military man, not with his stance, expression, and attitude. Kai glanced at the information he handed her. He was younger than she'd expected. He had experience in both supply and security, and the summary of his fitness reports suggested why he was retiring that young. No hint of dishonesty or substance abuse, but a pattern of borderline insubordination. One commanding officer's comment, "This individual does not know where initiative ends and rocket-propelled idiocy begins," stuck in her mind. She looked back up at him.
"Not going to be promoted, Captain. Too independent."
"I don't need a loose cannon. I've already had one of those, and he almost got me killed."
"Ma'am, I'm not a loose cannon. I know what statement you're referring to. And that officer was willing to let the depot be robbed blind rather than admit he'd trusted the wrong sieve. Now, what I did was go over his head, when he wouldn't do anything about it." "I couldn't go over your head, ma'am. You're the top of your command chain."
"Did the consul explain that I've been attacked, and so has my ship? It's not a safe berth I'm offering."
"Yes, ma'am, Captain. It'll be my pleasure to keep you alive and the ship safe. And I understand you need someone with expertise in inventory control?"
"Yes. My cargo master was killed last voyage. His second is excellent, but not experienced with inventory, since Gary did all that."
"I've handled inventory control for this post and others."
"The shuttle leaves in an hour and a half. I don't know about transport out."
"I can take care of that, ma'am, if you're willing."
It was crazy, but something about him, about that solid, obviously experienced man, gave her the first real confidence she'd felt since losing contact with Vada headquarters. He was certainly not the type to need saving, either. For once, she couldn't be accused of playing rescue.
"Let's not miss the shuttle. Glad to have you along."
The trip back to Belinta Station aboard a government supply shuttle was as boring and uneventful as she hoped. Flanked by a police escort, with Martin beside her, she made it unscathed through the station corridors to her own dockside and aboard. There she found not the calm she expected, but chaos and dissension. A knot of obviously scared and angry people in the wreck area, among them Rial Ahmat, her senior pilot.
I'm not staying. You can't make me. It's too dangerous.
You can't leave.
What's going on?
Her crew whirled to face her. Martin, she noticed, had placed himself along the bulkhead in a position to shield her from Rial.
Captain, I just can't do it. It was bad enough before, and now that someone almost blew up the ship, I just can't. The station board says there's a Pavarotti ship headed in system. I want to transfer.
Quincy was glaring at Martin now.
Who's this?
Our new cargo master and security chief. We need someone in charge of ship security. Meet Gordon Martin, ex-Space Force, just retired. Also experienced in supply.
Kai turned to Rial.
I don't know if you realize it, but there's a break in communications between here and Slaughter Key. Something's going on, and there's no guarantee there'll be another ship home anytime soon.
I don't care. I do not want to stay on this ship, and you can't make me.
I can take care of the pilot and captain.
Kalara hadn't noticed Lee before. Unlike the others in the compartment, he was sitting relaxed on the bench.
I'm staying.
Who else wants to leave?
Cheryl Donster, her navigator, looked up.
If there was a ship, I'd want to take it, but there's not. And I don't want to stay on this station. We've already been attacked here, so I guess I'll stay.
Crew briefing in an hour. I'll tell you what I know then. Meanwhile, start preparing for departure. Rial, I'll see you in my cabin now.
Ma'am?
Martin was still standing by the bulkhead.
We have police security outside for now. Aline, if you'll show him how to access the cargo records. And by the way, Quincy, did the police give us back our missing cargo?
No, they say they need it.
Not as bad as we do. I'll speak to them after I've talked to Rial. I'll want a time to depart as soon as you know, Quincy.
Rial followed her to her cabin, silent, but radiating stubborn resistance.
Sit down.
Kai seated herself in her desk chair. Rial perched on the edge of the other chair.
Look, Rial, I know you're scared, and I understand. You have every reason to think I'm a dangerous person to be around, and you may well be right. But before you decide to jump ship, you need to know what I know about the situation out there.
It doesn't matter.
It may not matter, but I will feel better if you know, so hear me out, please.
He relaxed a little.
I was talking to VADA headquarters about that sabotage attempt when the connection went. The assassins came into the Captain's Guild before I could try calling my father directly. Later, about 6 hours, we think, the consul was on the horn to Slaughter Key when the entire Slaughter Key Ansible connection went down. It's still down. He doesn't know if it's an attack like that at Sabine or something else entirely. From the little he was able to get before he lost the connection, it appears that either someone has a multiple grievance with ISC, Slaughter Key, and VADA, or by some chance different someones with different grievances have hit at the same time. I think the first is more likely. You were in Space Force, right?
Yes, but nothing like this ever happened. I never saw combat.
But do you still have any ties to Space Force? Some kind of duty to get back to them?
No, I just want to do my job without any of this excitement.
I hope you have that chance. I'll authorize payment to date and you can go.
Now?
Now. If you're not coming, then you don't need to attend the crew briefing, and we're going to be busy getting ready to leave. I'll contact the bank right away. They'll have your severance ready. Under the circumstances, I believe you aren't really entitled to anything but salary to date. But on the other hand, there is a crisis, so I'm going to authorize a month's extra. My father can scold me later.
That's very generous. I don't know if I
Rial,
should...
Rial, don't argue. It's my decision. Now, get your gear while I call the bank.
It took only moments to authorize a draft for him. Kai went to the bridge, where Lee and Cheryl were working on the departure sequence.
Destination still Leonora, Captain?
I'm not sure. Set us up for that, Cheryl. It's days to the jump point anyway, if I change my mind. Lee, what have you got on departure clearance?
Any time, basically. They're like a half hour's notice is all. It's not exactly a busy station.
Riel should be off ship by then. The sooner they were out in space, the better. Quincy, what's our status?
We've been on standby since yesterday, Captain. We're ready to go, and yes, before you ask, fully provisioned.
Good. I'll contact the station authorities. Have Bia check to be sure when Riel has cleared the ship, would you?
He shouldn't be leaving. Your father trusted him.
At this point, I don't. I don't need an unwilling pilot. Just have Bia make sure he's gone.
All right.
Getting departure clearance from the station master was as quick as Kai had hoped. Clearly, the local authorities would be glad to see the last of Gary Tobai. Kai instructed Crown and Spears to forward her balance to her account at Lastway. Leonora was only a stopover. She shouldn't need much money there. She tried again to reach her father from the ship's secured comm desk. Contact unavailable was all she could get, using any of his numbers. Then Gary Tobai uncoupled from dockside. The station seals closed and vented the little airspace remaining around the ship. Lee backed them out smoothly. The in-system drive spun up normally, and she was once more in command of her own ship in space. Kai looked around at the assembled crew in the ship's small wreck area.
Now that we're safely back in space, you need to know the latest information. You know about the attempted sabotage of this ship and the attack on me personally.
Is it because of the Sabine affair?
I don't think so. Not now. Too much is happening. The slaughter key Ansible isn't functioning. That happened sometime yesterday. I was in contact with Vada headquarters, and that signal was also cut off, but hours earlier, before the assassins attacked. I don't know why Vada would be a target, but apparently we are.
What can we do?
The first thing we need to do is figure out what the situation is. Right now, we don't know if Slaughterkey's Ansible platforms were blown or if there's another reason their Ansible's offline. We don't know enough to make a plan. But we do know there's danger, and being a moving target will make it harder for our enemies to hit us.
Move fast, stay alert.
The others looked at Martin.
Makes sense, Captain.
Our stated itinerary is Belinta to Leonora to Lastway. But we have supplies enough to go straight to Lastway.
Why go to Lastway at all? Why not head back to Slaughter Key and find out what's really going on?
Considering our recent experience, I'd rather stay out of systems with no working Ansibles. Lastway's remote enough, out on the fringe. I'm betting that it'll have Ansible function, even if others are shut down. It's also a high-volume system, plenty of traffic. That could bring us trouble, but it can also bring us news and allies. From there, we can hop back to Leonora with their cargo if things settle down.
What kind of internal security scans does this ship have?
Just the usual for civilian trade ships. Some of it's down, too, thanks to the mutiny at Sabine. Video and audio to each compartment, mostly for communication. Why?
Well, someone tried to put explosives aboard. I'd like to be sure nothing else came aboard. No offense intended to your crew, but just in case.
Good idea. You mean check out compartments personally?
That, and with some of the kit I brought along.
Martin patted his tunic. Kai thought of asking where he'd gotten whatever it was, and decided now was not the time.
Go ahead, then. Cargo's secure. I'll take the other section's reports while you learn where things are.
Yes, ma'am.
His arm twitched in what would, Kai knew, have been a salute. Mitt was halfway through giving his report when muffled thumps made them all look up.
Intruder, cargo hold 2, in custody. Request orders?
I'm on my way. Mitt, Bia, come with me.
Just inside the open hatch of cargo hold 2, Martin stood guard over a prone figure in rumpled green tunic and kilt, whose ankles and wrists had been trussed up with elastic cargo binders.
If you can take charge of him, I'll keep looking for any others.
Mitt, you stay with him. Bia, be ready in case Martin needs you.
It took several hours for Martin to be confident that no other stowaways were hidden away.
And I'm still not 100% sure, just mostly sure.
By this time, Kai had looked over their prisoner, an unprepossessing youngish man with straggly hair and at least a day's growth of beard. He had a darkening bruise on one cheekbone. From his clothes, he was a Belinta native, but that was all she could tell. Martin yanked the man up and propped him against one of the shipping containers.
Give me one good reason why I shouldn't space you.
The prisoner's eyes shifted to Kai's face.
Please! I didn't do anything! Don't let him kill me!
Didn't do anything? You stowed away on my ship! What were you up to? Planning more explosives?
No! I swear, nothing like that!
What's your name, boy?
Jim. Jim Hackusar. And I'm not a boy.
Really?
Martin turned to her.
Captain, this stowaway claims to be an adult, which means he's legally yours. It's up to you. I'll be glad to get rid of him for you.
No, no, please. I can do things. I can work for you. That's all I wanted was a chance.
You mean you wanted to be crew?
Yes. Anything to get off Belinta. I can do a lot of things. Really, I can.
Like what?
Well, I can build things. You know, like sheds and fences and that.
Kai fought down her own laughter.
And I can take care of critters, you know, who carry feed and clean up.
He looked around the cargo hold and its obvious lack of wooden sheds, fences, or livestock.
I thought, I heard, ships grow their own food, right? And that means crops and things, and I know how to plant and hoe and...
Large ships grow some of their food in hydroponic gardens. We grow algae in tanks. We don't use hoes.
But this ship is big. I saw it on a vid screen. It's lots bigger than our house back home. It had room in it for all those tractors and things.
He looked around at the cargo hold.
I mean, look at it. It's huge.
I'm afraid I...
Please, lady. Please let me work. I'll work hard, I promise.
That's the captain. You say ma'am to her.
Oh, please, ma'am.
Why does this always happen to me?
Kai could just hear what Quincy would say. But Martin's gaze was direct, steadying.
If there's no evidence he was trying to sabotage the ship, I have no reason to space him. That'll be your responsibility, Martin. Find out. Meanwhile, we'll confine him somewhere.
I'll take care of him, ma'am. Find out what he's done, what he can do. Give him something useful to do.
Martin reached over and unhooked the cargo ties, then pulled the prisoner to his feet.
Now listen to me, boy. The captain said you live for now. But you're under my orders, understand?
The prisoner looked at Kai.
Don't let him hurt me. I'll do anything you say.
What I say is do what he tells you. And Martin, the ship comes first.
Yes, ma'am.
Kai turned away, prepared to ignore whatever Martin did.
Stand up straight, you!
Kai jumped, then clamped her jaw in a giggle. She had jumped when McRobert first roared at their cadet class. She knew within a centimeter what that young man was going to be feeling in the next few hours. And for the first time since she had left, memory of the Academy lightened her heart instead of saddening her. By third shift, Kai felt that the ship was running smoothly. With the help of the rest of the crew, Martin had finished searching the ship to his satisfaction and was sure that no more stowaways were aboard, nor was there any explosive device. The young man had spent hours scrubbing the decks and finally, after a modest meal, had been locked into a closet with a mattress, pillow, and blanket.
Yeah, he'll be a challenge. Not born on Belinta, but his family moved there when he was a toddler. Poor colonists out on the frontier. I know the type, ma'am. Broglers, we call them back home. The kind that live off trapping and frog-sticking and the like. Thing is, they can make passable workers if you polish them up. He can shoot, he tells me. We'll see about that later.
Aline propped her elbows on the table.
If it saves me scrubbing things, I'm all for him.
Oh, he'll scrub. It's about all he can do at this point. Little enough education, and I doubt he paid much attention to the schooling available.
We'll do something about that. If he's going to be in my crew, he's got to be certified.
Kai looked around at the others who'd gathered in the wreck area.
I know. There's all kinds of trouble going on. But precisely because of that, we need qualified people aboard, not just pot scrubbers. I want him educated at least to basic space crew level.
We can try.
With all the expertise on this ship, we can do more than try.
The passage out began smoothly enough. Gordon Martin kept their intruder busy two shifts of the day, with 4 hours of schooling worked in. Martin seemed to get along well with the rest of the crew, too. The other men joined him for physical training. Kai, who maintained her own training program, found that the women were joining her. Not all of them at each session, but even Cheryl, who had claimed to hate exercise, was now using the machines every other day. Kai shared piloting watch and watch with Lee.
She worried about every blip on the scans, half convinced that marauders were lurking, ready to take out the ship. Each one turned out to be harmless. The Pavrati ship edging in toward Belinta Station, the Belinta ore haulers and service vehicles. At closest approach, 4 days out, Gary Tobai and the Pavrati ship passed each other. Kai made a courtesy call to the other ship.
You might as well skip Leonora. They're not letting anyone in. We were coming in from Darton, headed this way, and they chased us right back out as soon as we cleared jump.
What? Why?
Some kind of communications problem. And they're convinced something like Sabine will happen to them if they let outsiders into the system.
They didn't say what?
They didn't say anything but go away and tell everyone else to leave us alone. System closed indefinitely, they said. That was 3 weeks back. We were set up wrong for a direct vector here and had to use an intermediate jump point. They have some hot defensive ships, let me tell you, and acted like they'd just as soon blow us up as let us go. But go if you want to. I'm just giving a friendly warning.
Well, thanks. I appreciate it. Belinta's still open, as far as I know, but if you're headed for Slaughter Key, you may run into trouble. Ansible's down, apparently.
Damn pirates. Or whoever's doing this. It'll be the ruin of trade. We need supplies. I was gonna restock at Leonora, but I guess we'll be satisfied with Belinta cabbage.
Cheryl, make our course for Lastway. Let me know how fast we can make it, too.
This is a fine mess.
Gerard Avendetta Vada hurt all over, and he looked as bad as he felt. He could see that in the faces around him, and he had no time to deal with his pain or his grief at the many losses. Or to worry about his youngest child, who had just survived a nearly disastrous first voyage. He had to think of the future, what could be salvaged from the bleak reality of loss. Gracie Lane Vada, inimitable and invincible, sat bolt upright in her seat.
It's a disgrace. I cannot imagine what the government is thinking of, to let such things happen.
A question Gerard didn't want to consider yet was just how much the government had been involved, or part of the government, or what the disasters still falling on Vata heads meant to the part of the government he had thought he influenced. He turned to his brother's widow, Helen Starmarcos Vada. He liked Helen. He respected her abilities. But he could still hardly believe that Stavros was gone, that he would never have that steadying hand on his arm again.
How's the roll call going?
The dark rings around Helen's eyes were the only sign of grief. Those, and the mourning band she wore around her hair. She had lost her husband, her elder daughter, a son.
219 responses. We know of 37 deaths.
But there would be more deaths. Of that, Gerard was sure. The ones he knew were bad enough. His wife, his son, the household staff, the men and women in the office building. He pushed the memories away. Myris was dead, drowned in the midst of a fireball, her skull crushed by some piece of debris. San was dead, with all but two in the office building. And he still had responsibilities, work to do that could not wait for him to recover either physically from the burns and broken bones, or emotionally. The remaining Vata family members on Slaughter Key were all present, crammed into the storm bunker under a tick warehouse, now a pile of twisted blackened steel overhead. It was the safest place he could think of, but his skin crawled at the thought that someone else might know of it, and even now might be about to blow them all away.
What about communications?
The Ansible message bins are stuffed. The local ISC manager doesn't know why, he claims. I suspect whatever the cause, it's affecting more than Slaughter Key. This list is just the ones who got through by 1453 Capital Standard Time yesterday.
The family physician wanted him in a hospital, but he wasn't about to sit still in so obvious a target.
All right. We still have local communications with our remaining people on the mainland. Harry Adair is positioned in the system, not docked at the Slaughter Key main station. And nothing has attacked the ship. We have one remaining shuttle, now docked at the station, under local guard. We have been advised that permission to transit planetside will not be granted at this time.
So we're stuck here?
Not completely. Commercial carriers have agreed to transport less, prominent family members to the station. for a hefty surcharge.
Does anyone know why we were attacked? Other than our being rich and powerful and making a move on Pavrati last year?
No. No definite indication has come. I suspect that it is not unconnected to the problems ISC is having, since we have long been public in our support of ISC's monopoly, and opposition to it has been growing for the past few decades.
Is it because Kylara got involved with those pirates in the Sabine mess?
She did not get involved, as you put it. She had no choice.
She doesn't see choices, that girl. She sees openings. Not a bad way to fight a war, actually.
Gerard blinked. He remembered suddenly that the scrawny, pestiferous old woman, the bane of the family in some ways, creator of the least edible but most valuable fruitcakes in the universe, was enough older that she had been in the last war. He wasn't sure as what, but he remembered his father saying something. He queried his implant, and there it was, her military file.
Gracie, behind the lines.
Somehow, he had not connected her expertise in surveillance and information collecting, suitable civilian activities for a nosy old lady, with their military equivalents.
Well, it is a war, isn't it? We have an enemy, whether we knew it or not. They killed our people, attacked our businesses and our homes, broke our line of communication. Did it fairly well, you have to give them that. We certainly weren't prepared. But now, it's a war. And we'd better win it. I do not intend to spend the rest of my days sitting in some smelly, stuffy bunker under the wreck of a tick processing plant.
I hadn't thought of it as a war, Gracie. I mean, of course, it was an attack. Is an attack. But wars are for governments.
War is war. And our government is doing damn all about it. It's just as well young Kai had those years in the academy. And just as well she didn't graduate. She couldn't help us then.
She can't help us now, if she's even still alive.
We'll see. I will say, she's not an idiot.
That was a concession, considering how she'd spoken of Kai before. Gerard went on with what he thought the agenda should be.
The point is, what we have left of Vada Enterprises is now in serious trouble. Vada transport in space is out of communication, except for Perry Adair. Insurance reimbursements on our Slaughter Key planetary assets, land, improvements, movable property, will have to be used to cover contractual obligations. If we're lucky, if they actually pay out in a reasonable amount of time, it won't exceed contractual obligations. Out of system, as of our last incoming data burst, we have lost insurance coverage on our ships, and as a result, we have lost contracts. And as you know, we had purchased 15 new hulls in the last 4 years. Well, now those loans are being called in. Ordinarily, we would be able to cover that. Now, we can't.
So, you're talking bankruptcy?
I'm talking ruin. You talk about war and winning. Gracie, we have nothing to fight with. We have no money. We have no credit. We have no capital assets with which to make money.
Nonsense! We have Vata ingenuity, Vata drive!
We don't even know if we have Vatas other than ourselves.
Gerard pinched the bridge of his nose.
My best estimate, prior to this, is that we've lost 18% of our interstellar tonnage. But if we can't get insurance, and no one trusts us with cargo, that's 82% useless and expensive junk. Can we sell the ships? Certainly, at a loss, to our competitors. But only if we regain communications with their captains. We don't have any procedures whereby captains can sell Vata-owned ships on their own responsibility. And more, the Slaughter Key government is distancing itself from our problems just when we need it. There have been mutters in the circle that we brought trouble here by being so obvious a target. We have been informed that protecting Vada interests is a drain on taxpayer resources.
We aren't nearly as conspicuous as some I could name, President Varthos.
Yes, I agree.
Gerard cut off what he was sure was her usual rant about the president and his family.
But the point is that we were attacked, and they weren't. and they don't want to give us the kind of protection we want and need for fear of becoming targets themselves. I've tried pointing out that we are also taxpayers, but right now we aren't likely to be major contributors to anyone's campaign budget.
Someone got to him.
Possibly, but it will do no good to say so.
Gerard pinched his nose again. Gracie was so talented at giving headaches. He wished he could sicker on whoever their enemy was.
Here's what we have to decide. Our private funds are still intact, so far as I know. Banks on Slaughter Key haven't failed, and though there may be problems related to the failure of the financial Ansibles, I'm assured that my own accounts, for instance, are available. We here can choose to put our own money back into the company and try to keep Vata afloat, at least here. Or we can take our money and run, not to put too fine a point on it.
How much would we need?
I'm not entirely sure.
Gerard hated saying that. As CFO, he should be able to give precise figures. But his office, like his home, was a smoking hole in the ground, and he was finding it increasingly hard to think clearly.
More than I have myself, I know that. But I wanted to determine if you were willing first.
I am.
Gerard had almost forgotten Stella Vata Constantine, Helen and Stavros's younger daughter. The others turned toward her.
Don't stare like that. I screwed up once, just once, and you all thought of me as that idiot Stella from then on, right?
It's not that.
Yes, Uncle Jerry, it is. Just as you all thought of Kai as the gullible one. The thing is, I care about this family as much as anyone else, more than some. And I think Kai has more sense than you realize. I'm willing to bet my last credit on Vata. How about the rest of you?
Some of us have families.
That was Vasil Turalev, whose Vata wife and children had survived.
Some of you are lucky. So you're gonna kick your luck in the teeth and run away?
I have to think about them.
Vasil's wife shook his arm and muttered in his ear. He looked away.
I'll put in mine. Celia Vata.
Mine, of course. Vata will survive.
I certainly hope so.
Gerard did not feel confident at all, and the pain clouded his vision. The stimulant dose he'd talked the doctor into was wearing off.
And we need to decide how to distribute the database we have.
His head rolled sideways. He couldn't point to his implant without moving an arm, which took too much effort.
Stav's was destroyed. I think mine should be duplicated. Find Kai. Tell her.
He could not keep his eyes open. The post-stim crash rolled over him, sucked him into darkness.
Stella, dear, I need to talk to you.
Gracie's voice stabbed his ears even as he drifted off. By the time she lifted his cranial flap and removed his implant, slipping it into the protective case with its nutrient bath, he was unconscious. He did not hear the family disperse, the low-voiced decision to bring a medical team here rather than move him. He did not regain consciousness before the emergency surgery, before his death. Gracie Lane Vata moved about the kitchen, mixing dried and candied fruits, nuts, flour, sugar, in a large bowl, while the kitchen's owner greased and floured deep pans.
I can't believe you're making fruitcake now.
The other woman, who had been introduced as Louise, glanced up and then continued her work.
People have died, others are dying, and you...
Stella, I appreciate your sentiments, but if you make me forget the recipe, these will be even viler than usual. Put that in one of your insulated bags.
Gracie nodded at the sealed implant case that held Gerard Vata's implant.
You are not going to put it in a fruitcake and bake it. It'll destroy it.
No, it won't. I've done this before. There's dual protection. The implant case itself is insulated, and the bag will give it another 30 minutes at baking temperatures.
Gracie looked blank, then began dumping spices into the batter.
The thing about fruitcake, Stella, is that no one thinks it's anything but fruitcake. An aunt's fruitcake is one of the most innocuous substances in the universe. It fairly reeks of family duty. Stuffy traditions. You know about cover. How else could someone carry a highly valuable implant?
You're taking it somewhere?
No, my dear. You are. Louise, could I trouble you to fetch the bottle of rum that's in the guest room, the one I sent Pauly out for earlier?
Of course, ma'am.
Louise left the kitchen. Gracie moved closer to Stella.
Stella, we can't have just one copy of the command database. I've got one now. I'm not giving you one in case someone tries to pry into yours. This is for Kai. I'm sure you can find her. She was going to Lastway as a final destination after Belinta. She'll end up there sometime, but you won't go directly there. I've got a courier drop for you to get to ISC headquarters. You'll leave tomorrow morning, and you'll travel as you have before. Legal representative, not family.
Right. With a fruitcake.
With several fruitcakes. All reeking of rum.
Gracie finished stirring the batter.
I know I forgot something.
Vanilla?
Vanilla. No, not in the recipe. Something Jerry said back at the house. Too much too fast. I should have been recording. I hate age. Wisdom, assuming you gain any, is not enough to trade for the youthful ability to stay up 2 days running and still remember things. Here, put the implant case into this pan. Balance it on these little pins. And this little packet in the other. And for goodness sake, remember which is which.
The batter slumped into the circular pan, then the rectangular one, filling them, hiding the contents as Gracie nudged it around with a spatula.
Now, into the oven with them.
Stella put the cake pans into the oven just as Louise returned with the bottle of rum. The three of them sat around the table until the cakes were done and cooling on racks.
Better get to bed, Stella.
Gracie fought off her own exhaustion. She had things to say to Louise, things to do, secrets still to keep, even from Stella. The girl, woman now, had come a long way. She had proved herself before now, and she was the only one who might be able to do what Gracie considered essential. In the pre-dawn dark, Stella came back into the kitchen, dressed in the sober business suit that fit her cover story, her golden hair dulled with a rinse and slicked back into an unbecoming knot. Nothing could obscure her cheekbones, but makeup subtly denied the obvious beauty, masking the flawless skin with vague blotchiness. Gracie looked her over carefully.
Good job, my dear.
Will you be all right, Aunt Grace?
Grace allowed her smile to convey her intent.
Me? Oh, yes, Stella. I will be all right. Very much so.
Stella's expression shifted, but she had been well trained. She did not even look at Louise.
Do take care, Aunt Grace. I'll miss you.
And here are your fruitcakes, Stella.
Aunt Grace, I don't really need...
Grace handed her the sack.
Of course you do. And there's a little something in there for you, too, Stella.
A packet of diamonds, that most useful portable currency. Stella already carried some in the pocketed camisole under her blouse, but it was impossible to have too many diamonds.
Lunch for your journey.
Thank you, Aunt Grace.
Stella hugged her lightly. Then she was gone, and Grace, already packed, left the house by another entrance to meet another driver. En route to her next destination, she stopped briefly to make a call from a shielded site. Just before dawn was a fine time to wake a traitor.
Yes?
You will regret this.
Gamis Turek read the reports with satisfaction. They had calculated correctly. They had beheaded Vata Enterprises and chopped off more than enough limbs. The Slaughter Key government had been cooperative in rendering no more aid. What was left of Vata would be harmless, the disconnected, twitching limbs of what had been a formidable creature. They had missed the daughter, but she was a minor target anyway, and she was on a small, slow, unarmed ship. If he wanted her later, he could take her. He placed the call to the Slaughter Key Presidential Palace, aware that the very existence of the call would puzzle and alarm them.
You were wise to take my advice. You see how fortunately it turned out.
What I see is a big mess.
He did not sound nearly so cowed and compliant as expected. Gamis scowled.
It is not your mess. It is Vala's mess. And they are now helpless to cause us, me or you, any problems.
I'm not so sure of that.
Their senior officers are all dead. Their headquarters is destroyed. Some of their largest and most profitable ships. They cannot get insurance. Their accounts are frozen. What is the problem, then?
You missed one.
Missed one? I don't think so. My intelligence reports that their CEO and CFO are both dead, and the entire second level of vice presidents.
You missed the old lady. She knows someone got to the government.
Everyone knows someone got to the government. What of it? And what old lady? We have no profiles on old ladies. They can complain all they like.
She called me.
Oh, for... Grow a spine, man! An old lady, some old Dowager Vada, without strength of arms or resources, she can whine all she wants. She's toothless.
Gamis closed the connection, shaking his head at the timidity of grounder politicians. During the passage to Lastway, the crew seemed to adjust to the new situation and crew members, though not without some friction.
He's so military. Everything's spit and polish all the time.
3 days into the passage, Kai didn't have to ask for a name. Gordon Martin, of course.
I think he's too hard on that boy. Yesterday he had him on his hands and knees for hours, scrubbing, just because he had forgotten to shower.
It won't hurt him. Are you getting soft on Jim?
Not soft, no. I agree, he needs training, but Martin...
He is military, Quincy, just out. It's been his career. You can't expect him to change overnight. And frankly, I'm more comfortable having him in charge of Jim than if I had to supervise him. Is he bothering you any other way, Martin, I mean?
Not really. He doesn't want us to use his given name. That's kind of odd. We're all used to first names. But he's not ordering the rest of us around or anything.
Do you think Jim will ever make a spacer? Is he doing well in his studies?
Maybe, and not really. Martin thinks he's not applying himself. I'm beginning to wonder if he has one of those learning problems. I was asking him about his schooling, and it didn't sound like the Belinta primaries had any of the corrective software we use.
Do we have any of that kind of thing aboard?
I'll look. Sorry, I hadn't thought to check that out.
If we do, see if it'll help him. I saw those original test scores. He's about as far down the scale as you can go. If he's going to be with us, he needs to be more than a drudge.
Aline had accepted Martin as the new cargo master. She'd already told Kai she didn't really want the job herself, but she too found him rigid at times.
He wants a full inspection every day. Gary never did that, and he had years of experience.
He might do it now under these circumstances. Martin's got the background in security as well as supply. He wants to keep us safe.
Oh, I'm all for safe, and I don't mind the extra work, really. With Jim doing most of the scout work, there's little enough for a cargo second to do en route. It's just his manner, I guess.
Is he rude?
No. But I can see him stopping himself from ordering me around the way he does Jim.
Give him time. At least he's trying to stop himself.
As for the stowaway, Kai had little to do with him. She noticed that his shaggy hair had changed to a short bristle, and his face was always smooth, his slouching posture more upright, his expression less foolish and more alert. He always seemed to be busy. The galley and toilets gleamed, the decks were always swept. Every 5 days, she asked Martin for a progress report and learned that the recruit was making progress, albeit slowly.
He'd go faster in a real basic training course. Here on the ship, with no other recruits to measure himself against, he can fool himself, think he's working as hard as he can. Oh, you remember that yourself, I expect, from your academy days.
Indeed, yes.
And I do realize we're civilians, not military. It's just that boys like this need the discipline, or they'll never give up their evasions. They always have excuses. They always have tricks to avoid the work. They're not bad, exactly, but they're thick-skinned as well as thick-headed. That learning software your chief engineer found is helping, though.
If you can make a decent, competent spacer out of him, that will satisfy me. Just don't break anything we need later.
I'll take care of him. Without breakage, I promise you. Another thing, though. We need to consider security issues for when we dock somewhere. Now, I've been through the procedures manual you've got, and it's totally inadequate. We're lucky we didn't have an entire crew of stowaways and a kiloton of weaponry aboard. This thing of trusting local police...
I'm sure you already have ideas on that. Do you have them ready to present?
As a matter of fact...
Martin brought out several large sheets of hard copy.
I could put this on a cube if you want, but sometimes it's easier to see in this format. Now, we can cobble together some of our existing equipment for part of it, but we're going to need better sensors, and many more of them.
Kai looked at the diagrams.
You're talking military-grade coverage, aren't you?
From the little we know, things are coming unstuck in several places, and we may come out of FTL in a war zone. Civvy stuff to ward off the casual sneak thief just won't do. Now, I've looked into the cargo manifest. That stuff we can't deliver to the Honora includes components we could turn into the basic net I'm talking about.
We can't breach cargo seals. It's against policy, not to mention law.
Policy is for the last war but one, ma'am. Leonora won't let us deliver, didn't you say? So their cargo's forfeit, isn't it?
Not exactly. In something like this, it would go before a magistrate to determine whether we could sell the cargo and put the money in escrow for the original consigners, or whether we could sell the cargo and keep the profit. Nothing in the law, as I understand it, allows us to break the seals and use the cargo for our own purposes.
We're not going to be hauled away to jail if we're in pieces because someone got to the ship.
True, but how much can you do without using the Leonora cargo?
Depends on what resources you authorize from engineering stores.
Let's look at this again. Huh. Motion sensors, infrared.
Ma'am, I know you have some military training. But how much was specific to security concerns?
Not much. I couldn't help noticing how different it was when we were taken to training venues, but we didn't have it in class. That was coming later, once we were commissioned, they said.
Well, here's the short and dirty. To keep a ship like this, and a crew this size, reasonably safe in the kind of situation we're talking about, you need three things. First, hardware. The sensors deployed in appropriate locations. Then, software set up to interpret input correctly. Finally, procedures that everyone follows. Now, I don't mean any insult by it, but this is not a military crew. Your people aren't used to discipline other than doing their jobs, isn't that right?
Right.
Now, I've been paying attention, listening to them talk about how they spend their time when a ship's in dock. They walk in and out, go visit a station bar or cafe, go run errands, do some shopping.
Yes, that's normal. And?
Well, ma'am, seems to me normal just went out the door and didn't look back. Somebody's trying to kill you and destroy your ship. That means you can't be having any of that casual strolling around. Now, I can make up some of the deficiencies with hardware and software, if I get enough of it, but you also need to set up procedures for how people behave on the next place we dock.
Procedures restricting their movements, you mean?
Movement, communications, everything. It's not going to be easy. They'll think they're being careful when they're leaving holes in your security I could walk a whole platoon through.
Well, if that's the hardest job, I think we should start with that part.
What weapons do you have aboard?
Mihar's two pistol bows and some knives. And whatever that is you carry.
This?
Martin opened his tunic and pulled out a matte black handgun, laying it on the table without, Kai noted, ever allowing the muzzle to point toward her.
11mm, standard arms, manufactured on Slaughter Key under license from Bascom. Same as our utility issue, but this one's custom. You don't have a weapon? I expected you would.
I was rushed off Slaughter Key in a hurry. At the time, a weapon was the last thing in my mind. After Sabine, though...
I heard you killed two of them. Mind telling me how you did it without a gun?
Crossbow. Mihar's pistol bow, in fact. The mutineers had knives, no firearms. The mercs had made sure of that.
Huh. Not a bad ship weapon, a bow. Not enough penetration to damage a hull or even a bulkhead. But I would recommend, ma'am, that you arm yourself as soon as you can.
Lastways bound to have weapon shops.
Yeah, I could pick something up for you. Safer for you.
No thanks. If I'm going to shoot it, I want to choose it.
Martin's brows went up.
I did learn to shoot, you know. As a girl back home, as well as academy training. Now, if you'll draft some procedures for me, we can go over them and start training the crew.
Right away, ma'am. And, given the lack of arms, I think I'll add some basics in unarmed fighting techniques. Some of them might get it.